This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. The big Will O on the ones and twos today.
Let's go, Will! Yeah!
What's up?
All right!
How's it?
Woo!
I can't hear you!
Nah, we're not doing that. I had to do that to a third grader today, and I was just like, nah, I'm out.
Isn't that the worst thing in the world when you walk into a place and it's like somebody's trying to get the crowd wild up, and they're like, how are we all doing today? And everybody's like, woo. And he's like, I don't know. I can't hear you.
I think that's what the sales bosses need to start doing. Go full car dealership mode. Are we ready to do this, guys?
Are we ready to sell some stuff, guys?
Woo!
Nobody believes in us.
1080. 1080. Come on. I want to hear it.
It's like, can you imagine the locker room speech last night for Florida? Coach walks in. He's like, guys, nobody believed in us all year, despite the fact that a ton of people had us picked to win in the bracket. Nobody believed in us.
Guys, do you think I just gave up after I DM'd those girls 10 times and followed
them
home?
Do you think when the school came to me and said, we're looking into stuff, that I gave up? Hell no!
Do you think I gave up on my... Well, I kind of gave up on my marriage, but do you think I gave up after I liked 18 of her photos in a row?
Do you think those co-eds gave up on me? I don't think so.
Well, they kind of did. Very quickly, they gave up on you.
Dude, that was kind of rough. Like, I actually... Small, quick story. I'm not a gambler. I'm not Big Will's Bets over here.
Oh, yes, you are.
But I do love some college basketball.
Oh, yes, you are a gambler, Mr. Cleveland Indians, to win the AL Central ticket at A&A.
Not looking great.
2 weeks in, got to overreact.
But college basketball has tended to be, over the last two decades, a good place for me to kind of swoop in on a little coin. I watch a lot of college basketball, but the tournament's crazy. You can watch a lot of college ball and flail out, and somebody picks mascots and they win it. You know, there's a lot of volatility going on there. The three times I have won the most money, my years might be wrong, but I think I'm correct, is 2007, Florida wins a natty. 2008, Florida wins a natty. And 2025, Florida wins a natty.
Oh, look at
you. I made $150 last night.
Gator go chomp.
And it's funny because, like, I'm, you know, I don't like SEC. I don't like Florida. But there are times when Florida's good. I guess I know when they're good. Now, everybody knew that second one, the Billy Donovan days.
Oh, yeah.
They won a title, returned all five starters and their best bench player.
Right.
Different time of college basketball, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But everybody knew they were going to win. It was the year before. They were a four seed. And I picked them, and I got lucky they played George Mason in a Final Four game.
I think it was the second.
And they beat Ohio State, I believe.
Yeah, and I think it was Greg the Oden. Second title that they beat Oregon in, like, the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, something like that. I remember Oregon
maybe
had
something
to play
like
them.
That.
I don't know if it was the Aaron Brooks Oregon team, but.
I think the next year they lost, or they beat, I could be getting these flipped. I think the next year they beat Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and I believe
UCLA.
Was it
when Ben Howland was just a juggernaut at UCLA, and then they fell off?
Was it also Luke Richard Mbamute on that team?
Mbamute, yep, yeah. Was on that team.
What a name.
Darren Collison was the point guard, but Aaron Aflalo went to the draft the year before.
Is that right?
I believe that's right. And Aflalo's team went to the Final Four, but they lost. And the next year,
yeah,
they had freshman Westbrook and Love.
2006 is when they beat UCLA. 2007 is when they beat Ohio
State.
Okay,
so I was off by a couple years.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell of a game last night.
It was. It was pretty solid. I enjoyed myself.
Entertainment factor, hell of a game. Basketball, but entertainment, hell of a game.
Also,
you know I love college
and ball. I'm being a bit hyperbolic here, rather. College basketball teams, when they have the ball and they need to either tie or win a game, are absolutely allergic at being able to execute a play to do such a thing.
Without a doubt.
It is.
Shining moment.
I was watching that game, and as soon as they called timeout and Houston had to draw something up, in my mind I was like, whatever they're going to draw up, they're going to fail miserably at trying to execute this play. But I had no idea in a million years that that was going to happen.
That's the truth. And it's funny.
That was one of the worst last plays I've ever seen from a team that they tried to execute.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward goes, hey, man.
At least
I hit the backboard and the rim.
That was just,
it was tough. Like, last night, I had to watch that game rooting for Florida to win so I could win money, but I overtly wanted Houston to win. Calvin Sampson, go Cougs. He used to coach at Washington State. Of course I'm rooting for Calvin Sampson.
Where did he coach in between?
Indiana.
Is that what? Okay, I meant to look that up.
He had a stop
night
at Indiana. I'm sure he had a couple other stops because he's pre-Bennett. He's not my time. Dick Bennett came back to Wazoo. Tony took over afterwards. So he's pre that. So he was at Wazoo before I was there. But remember the press conference where he was talking about how to pronounce Gonzaga?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, he knows because he spent time at Wazoo. So I had to root for the Coug.
I gotcha.
But Gators won me $150.
I was rooting for Houston because I like champions that I have never seen before.
Totally.
I like seeing
new, in the NFL, too.
I like seeing new things. I like parody. So seeing Houston hoist a trophy, I would have enjoyed it. But now Florida wins their third. I want Florida football to be good again. I don't care about Florida basketball. I want Gator football.
You know
to get
what's
back
funny is I really love those Billy Donovan teams. I really did. I mean, Noah was annoying, but Al Horford was awesome. I really loved Corey Brewer. Yeah. I thought Corey Brewer was so fun to watch at Florida. I don't know what it is.
Walter Hodge on that team.
It's
as
weird.
Well.
Can you disassociate college basketball with college football, or do you think they're the same thing? Like, now Alabama is good at college basketball.
Yeah,
does that bother you because they're good at college football?
It does bother me, and it's still kind of very much like F Bama. Like, you have your thing. Like, you don't need to be great at two sports.
Because I view Dan Lanning and Dana Altman almost at completely different schools.
Well,
mostly, I think it's because the sports are so different.
Sports are different. Program is different. The fan appetite for said sport is different. Like, if there wasn't a pro team, pro basketball team in Oregon, then maybe there would be a little bit more give an F for the college teams. And I don't know. It's football is a different beast, man.
When I was at Wazoo, we had Alex Brink as the quarterback, birthday buddy, shout out. Mm-hmm. Love you, Alex. We weren't very good at football, but we were very good at basketball. And but in the Pac-12, Pac-10 at the time, we were a football school. We're coming off Mike Price. Jason Gesser took us to a Rose Bowl. Ryan Leaf took us to a Rose Bowl. I was in high school during all that stuff. And when I got there, it was like, oh, man, this football program. But Doba kind of sank the team. Paul Wolf was a bad hire. Leach showed up later after I'd already graduated and brought it back. But we had that dichotomy. It was like I went to basketball games. We had Dick Bennett, and then Tony took over. And when Tony took over, it was like, we basketball, baby. And it was such a different vibe going to games. And I think that's kind of what I'm saying, is that the football to basketball vibe is completely different, especially live.
Yeah, I hear
and you can't drink at Wazoo in the stadium.
Oh, I don't know if Oregon.
But they gave you re-entry and they patted you down pretty lightly.
I don't know if Matt Knight is like that.
No, no.
Still no.
If the Pac-12 still existed as we know it, Wazoo, Martin Stadium would be one of the only places that you can't buy alcohol.
I would assume Matthew Knight in Eugene does, because they do concerts and stuff down there. And
they sell alcohol at Autzen.
Yeah.
So I would assume they retrofitted Matthew Knight for the same.
Well, again, just because of the idea that it's like they're having big musical artists come through and doing big events down at Matt Knight, that I would assume that it is ready to go for booze sales, and them just saying no for but Ducks basketball.
Beasley Coliseum and Martin Stadium, like, we don't need to drink more at Wazoo. Like, we got that covered.
Your livers
but
are
I did see the Doobie Brothers and Elton John at Beasley Coliseum, and we bought alcohol there during the show.
I have not been to a show at Matt Knight.
I've only been to a basketball game. I went to a Wazoo Oregon game there.
Yeah, went to a couple basketball games, and that is where I did my graduation, was at Matt Knight Arena.
Matt Knight Arena is nice. It's like Rose Garden Light.
Yeah. If they could fill it up during basketball games, that'd be great.
It's almost an NBA place. Yeah. Oakley Dougley. Well, that's enough about hoops. This is a baseball show, and that's what we'll get into today. A lot of stuff to get into. We'll continue in our theme of reactions.
Dude, did you know it's regular season?
It is regular season.
It's still amazing to me.
I saw a meme today that was Bernie Sanders in the Cleveland Guardian subreddit that said, once again, I'm asking for hits and runs.
Hey, all you need is one, though.
All you need is a walk, really. So we'll touch in on teams that we believe in their good starts, teams we believe that are bad in their bad starts. And we'll look around. How long can you play left field if you don't know how to play left field? But we'll start right here. There's a new $500 million man. And does this change things? What does this look like for the team? What does this look like going forward at the position? We'll do all that next. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen.
Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
717 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the fan text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show. There's also the YouTube channel. What up? Shout out YouTube kids. Big O on the ones and twos tonight. I would have brought you a beer, but this beer is probably half of the caloric intake you do a day.
I let spring break be spring break, and we didn't
good
do any
you.
Counting. And then we're back on the horse right now.
Do you
so
not
back
drink
getting it down.
Beer?
No, I drink whatever, man.
He drinks light beer.
I like Coors Light.
Do
so
you drink Claws? I had a
lot.
Drink light beer. I drink Coors Light. It's literally in the name.
Coors Latte. I drink
latte.
A pub beer.
I'm
I love
a
good
latte
pub beer.
Guy. I'm a Bush
ooh,
latte.
See, there you go.
That's a Wazoo thing, though.
See, you know, that's Pullman water. I'll drink whatever, though. Like, if you put it in front of me, like, I'll probably drink it and I'll
God,
like it.
He's still a kid. I'm so jealous.
So is that a no on the White Claws?
Oh, dude, I'll get down with the White Claws. It's seltzer season, baby.
It is seltzer season. I could see, I bet.
Hey, dude, I got the rooftop about to open. You ain't got to talk to me.
I bet Will could probably drink 12 White Claws before he starts feeling drunk. I'm sure the buzz would kick in before then, but like getting drunk off of White Claws, I would say 12.
Is this like a Sebastian Janikowski thing? Did you ever hear the rumors of Janikowski at Florida
drink
State?
Drink before he play?
Yeah, no, not even that. It was like a Friday night and he wanted to go out. He would drink a six-pack of light beer, Tallies, and pop a Rufalin and then go out.
Like a roofie?
Yes, sir. That's wow. The rumor. Those are the
he
urban
roofied
legends.
Himself.
He roofied himself, put down a sixer of Tallies, and then went out.
Wow. See, that's crazy. Now, I can't drink nearly as much as I used to.
Well, you ain't got no mass on you, dude.
No,
I'm fatter than you.
No, the mass isn't what it once was. But what I pretty much do is, you know, once a week, once every other week, you go. And you
yeah,
have a good
you get
time?
A night. A cheat day, basically.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. I'm not like a casual, like I'm not gonna have a beer with dinner. Like that's not gonna happen. I'm gonna go. If I'm gonna drink, I'm gonna go, and we're gonna go all day.
You know how I say it must be a Tuesday because it's always a Tuesday?
Yeah.
It must be a drinking day because it's always a drinking day.
Fair. Fair.
And
I
that's
get
why
that I'm weird.
40 and 30 pounds overweight, Will. Don't be like me.
You look great, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. He's lying to me, and that's why I love him so much more. That's why I love him so much more. Joe, I'm about to turn your Orioles game on this TV.
As you should.
The
It's nice seeing the Royals my O's at this hour.
I do like seeing. I got Tribe San Diego not too long ago. That was really fun. But I've also doubled down once again on Jackson Holliday in my fantasy league.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
I went for Rutch and I couldn't get Rutch. Someone snagged him before me.
Yeah, like I said, it's nice seeing my Orioles at this hour down in Arizona at Chase Field. Okay.
Chase Field.
Double checking.
Well, let's get into it, guys.
It literally says on the TV a foot above your head, Chase Field.
Chase Field.
I'm like, is that what it is?
Well, let's get into it, guys. It's baseball where I'm very excited this is going down. You know what I think my most favorite thing is whether it's your day off or you're at work. Like, take me, for example. I work in a pub, and we got TVs everywhere. And today, I had baseball on, because that's always really fun. And then, of course, we had. It's really hard. I kind of think about the boys in the morning, Dirt and Sprague. Like, we get to sit in here tonight, and we're watching a live sporting event. The boys in the morning, there ain't much live going on.
Yeah, except for this week.
Yeah, what do they got?
Masters.
Oh, that's right. They will get Masters. And they're golf pros, so they'll be very stoked about that. But I always feel very lucky that we're in here. And baseball is one of those that gives us, you know, that kind of action. But let's dive right into it. The story of the week is the Toronto Blue Jays handed out a fat stack of cash.
Yes, they did.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will be in Toronto, according to his contract.
Forever.
For the next 14 years and $500 million. There's a lot of things that kind of go into this situation. There was a deadline that an extension needed to be met before opening day, before spring training, and they would not negotiate. However, behind the scenes, things kept going, and Toronto got the deal done. And I think I want to start here.
More like Vladdy and his agent got the deal done. Are you kidding me?
But I want to start here because the Blue Jays, kind of like the Padres in the National League, have been a team that there's a lot of players on there that I think could be really good. You could start the window, so to say, having your guys locked up and then build around them. I feel like 6 months ago, the end of last season, did we not feel like Toronto's window was A, completely closed, and they were about to blow this up?
It started trending that way, and that's where we were even wondering what the hell they were going to do with Vladimir Guerrero. I remember on this very show, three months ago?
Tuesdays, 7 to 9. Did you know that because you're listening?
I mean, I want to go back and check the records because we were talking about this not too long ago as far as what they're going to do with Vladimir Guerrero.
Right.
And if he was going to be traded.
I think we talked about it in spring training.
And I remember us throwing out what his deal would be if they decided to sign him. I threw out 400 mil. And then we started doing some math, like, you know, a 12-year, 400 mil contract and or 10 years. And we're like, well, I don't know. Are they willing to give him that much? Yeah, they are, and then some. But I think this is part like Toronto kind of caving and being scared that they are going to lose him for nothing and probably giving him more than they needed to. Again, referencing us talking about it a couple months ago, I thought the max would be like at 400 mil. And so you get him locked up. He's part of your franchise for the next 14 years. I don't know if there's an opt-out.
It puts him basically at 40.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like 25, 26 right now.
I think he turns 26 in June is what I heard. I heard that today.
So then, yeah, you can focus on just building the team around him. Like, all right, our main piece is done. But the thing is that your team around him is not very good.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like,
and so you have a lot of things to figure out.
Bo Bichette is in a big year.
Yeah.
Like, you thought he was going to be a cornerstone. Is he going to be a corner? You already kicked out Kevin Biggio. You're done on that. Springer has degraded massively. You get Santander on a cheap couple-year deal. But, yeah, that's how you build around. I mean, it's clear to me that Toronto is spending this money on Vladdy. It's like Soto deal. It's like a lot of these young kids that get these massive deals like this, as Corbin Carroll just went deep for the Diamondbacks.
Cool. Good for him.
It's one of these things where you kind of realize that at 37, 38, 39, 40, you're in Pujols hell. You're in A-Rod hell of paying a player more, like exponentially more than they're absolutely worth. But in theory, Vladdy for the next 10 years, jersey sales, team leader.
It's your cash cow.
Ticket attendance, all that kind of stuff that guy's going to pay off. But I feel like Toronto to me is a lot like San Francisco. They have money. They're willing to go after guys. They went after Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
San Francisco went after Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Like, they are willing to do it. And San Francisco's been striking out on all these guys. But Vladdy is your dude. He's your guy. And his dad played in Canada. And I don't know if you're looking around, and we're not a political show here by any means, but if you're looking out, would you rather make $500 million in Canada or make $500 million in America?
I don't know.
You know, like, yeah, there's a lot of
weird stuff. I honestly don't know how that all works out, but I'm going to guess that it's not bad to live in Toronto
yeah.
and make that kind of money.
And so that's where I give Toronto the kind of pass, like you were saying, like, are you sure you really want to do this? Is this a desperate move? Is it a little desperate? Yeah, probably. But you got your guy.
Yeah, and I haven't, you know, I haven't seen the breakout. Like, if it, I don't think there's any deferment on this.
No, and, it's all up front. No deferment.
And then as far as the, if it is a escalating or de-escalating, you know, I would imagine obviously it's going to go up as the years go on. But it's like, you know, if you're paying him 40 mil in the year 2033, like that's not that bad.
No. And I love that you bring that up. That's where I want to go next. What does this contract look like for Toronto? What does this contract look like for Pete Alonso?
$500 million Josh Naylor? Guaranteed money.
What does this look like? We're going to bring in some NFL into this because I got some comparisons. What does this contract, Soto, Ohtani, those are their own special things. But I feel like there's a lot to digest of this Vladdy contract, and that's what I want to get into next. But before we do that, I'll throw it over to Big O with sports.
That's all we got. One damn hit.
Damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into things we like. Are we believers in hot starts? Are we believers in bad starts? Plus, Big O, you going to do a fair foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour?
I got one, and don't worry. I know you needed your producer to ask you Mariner questions because you don't get that enough.
You know what I'm going to have to ask?
So are you going Mariner questions?
Just two.
Oh, God.
Just two?
Jesus.
50%?
I need to what's his nuts? Schultz.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
I need to let Schultz know that we need more statistical trivia-based fair or foul. I know that.
Is Victor Robles being out the worst right field situation in baseball history?
Okay, there are some stats, but these aren't stat questions.
Damn it, Will.
I will say, though.
I've got opinions and
you
I need
bitch.
Help. I need help. I will say.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
That Victor Robles catch was one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Totally, dude. And one of the best injuries back to Griffey with the wrist and the wall.
I'm going to say something, and I know it's really dumb.
Oh, boy.
But when we look back on this year. And the Mariners don't make the playoffs because they miss Victor Robles' bat. Dude, if he just lets it go foul, it's a foul ball. If he lets it go foul, he doesn't break his shoulder. The runner who's on first doesn't get all the way to third, and they don't hit a walk-off. I know it's a stupid thing. I know it's stupid.
This is my last resort.
I think they put him, the runner, to second. They did not give him third, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, he got to third, so
yeah,
then they moved him
back. I think they told him.
Hey, funny enough about that, we're totally going off the rails here. I did not know that because he was hurt, the runner couldn't advance to third.
I didn't know that either.
I
thought he was at third.
I watched it live. I was watching it live with some buddies at the bar, and we were like, oh, Robles looks really hurt. Guy was on third. They sent him back to second. And I was with some Mariner fans, and even they were like, wait, why is he going back to second? Because he was hurt? Like, I understand ground rule, double, things like that. But, like, he caught the ball. The guy tagged and started running, and then he still threw the ball out. It'd be no different than, like,
missing.
Because
I think he was
dying
that he wanted to
ride just
in
saying,
pain rather than hold on, try and make a play.
I guess I'm just saying that I didn't know that that was a rule, that the guy is clearly hurt, so he goes, it's like a
it makes sense
a
that it's
rule
a rule.
Thing.
It makes
does
sense.
Make sense, but I didn't know it was a rule.
Right. Well, because how many times does that happen? Like, when's the last time that happened?
Not
Griffey?
Much, man. Usually guys, like, grab a ball, like Aaron
Julio?
Rowan. Remember when Aaron Rowan broke his face on the cage?
Well, and also, like, what about when, like, guys collide? You know, that happens too. And
right.
The dude makes the catch, but they collide and he's just
and the other
lying
dude's
there.
Just still running.
Yeah.
And the guy's like home.
I think it's to prevent that, like those situations. Like, oh, the guy might be dead in deep left center field, but he's going to come home and score.
And here's a pitch, and Victor Robles is dead, and he's all the way to third.
Yep, that's bone poking out of the skin right there, but the Giants are going to come home and score a run.
Back in my day, that's good base running. He's on third.
Shouldn't break your arm.
Coming back to this Vladdy situation, I got some questions for you guys. Like, we see, you know, it's kind of like the quarterback market, how it always gets reset. You know, somebody signs a new long-term deal on this. you know, Patrick Mahomes is what, the fifth highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but probably should be number one. Burrow was number one for like 2 weeks and then became number two. We see this in baseball a little bit. I remember before we get to the Ohtani deal, which blew everything wide open, the Mike Trout deal was insane. And before that, it's A-Rod, 250, 10 years. You're like, whoa, this is insane. But what's interesting with the Vladdy Jr. contract is it has been a very long time. I think Pujols is the last one where we saw a first baseman get that kind of money. Pete Alonso is looking at another big long deal. Josh Naylor in Arizona is not looking at a Vladdy deal, but is looking at a big deal.
Well, the way that Pete Alonso is playing right now and hitting the ball, he's definitely going to get that deal.
So I had this kind of thought today. You know, Goldschmidt had some good years at first, got some good paydays. You remember, you know how running backs are back? The Saquons of the world. You know, we had that big gap between AP and Saquon, basically. Chris Johnson and Saquon.
Derrick Henry,
et cetera. You know, he goes to the Ravens and only gets, what, 12 mil a year?
Soon to be future Dallas Cowboy.
Nah, he doesn't fit in their plans.
God, why am I already forgetting the Boise State running back's name?
Ashton Jeanty.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's our
like
future
that.
Running back, and I can't even remember his name.
The question is, does Vladdy reset the first baseman market?
I was about to say Jay Ajayi.
Stop.
Hey, great Boise State running back.
Does Vladdy, I'm more of an Ian Johnson kind of guy.
Oh, okay. Great
dude,
White Hope.
Dude, Statue of Liberty. He proposed to the cheerleader after they won that game. Does Vladdy reset the first base market?
Well, I'm taking a look at some of the first basemen, the highest paid first baseman in the league, and I'm going to have to say nay. There's a couple guys that will get big contracts, sort of to the ilk of Vlad, but when you look at it, it's like Freddie Freeman. How old is he now?
33, 34.
And his contract, yeah, he's 35, so that ain't going to happen. He's not going to somehow command the same type of money. Next
he's
up.
Still pretty good at 35.
I mean, Pete Alonso's going to get, he's going to get his, but he's not going to get Vladdy money. Like
But does he get more because of Vladdy?
He gets more because of what he's doing right now. I would say. And I guess you can base it off of like, hey, this is the market price. Like, this is what. But I feel very much that Pete Alonso is the exception, not the rule in this.
Like, is maybe Vladdy the exception too and not the rule?
Did I not say Vladdy? Or
well, you said Pete Alonso.
Oh, sorry. I feel like Vladimir Guerrero, yes, is the exception, not the rule in this. That he, it's like, I don't think if you're Naylor or if, you know, you're Christian Walker or if you're anybody else like that is going to come in and be like, well, if you see what Vladdy's making, it's like, yeah, but that's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know.
It's still a player-by-player kind of basis.
Are you a possible MVP? Are you in the running for MVP basically at the start of every season?
Are you somebody that everybody would die to trade for?
Yeah. So, I'm not really buying it. I mean, also on the list, I mean, Bryce Harper, I feel like he's been in the league for 20 years, but he's probably, yeah, of course, he's only 32. Like,
he's been in the league for, if he's 32, he's been in the league for 13 years.
I mean,
I believe he showed up in 19.
And I don't know if he has one of those contracts where you can rip it up and start anew. I mean, he is still.
Only A-Rod is really ripped up and start anew. He signed three $250 million deals.
Harper signed through 31 until he's 38.
And that's a $400 million deal, or it's a three plus.
330.
330, so, and then
but
Mookie,
it's going to go down in value.
And then I think after Bryce signed his, Trout signed his, which I believe is 460, but that's a 10-year 460.
So is it age?
And then Mookie
then?
Did his.
Is it age? Because
without
like,
a doubt,
when you look at the first baseman on here, I could see a world where Pete Alonso gets an average annual value that's more than what Vladdy's getting.
Totally.
But he's not going to get the same years
it's
because
be
right
four,
now.
It's like a 4-year,
right.
$250 million deal.
And Vladdy's 26. As I'm looking at the first baseman on here,
yeah.
No one's even in that range. Yeah. Who even, you know, their name pops off the screen to you.
But what I'm saying, because you see no names, does a guy like Josh Naylor in Arizona, who would probably command 21 a year on the market, but now that Vladdy has this and Pete's right behind him, does Josh Naylor get 27 a year?
So he Brett Boone's it?
What I'm saying is like, because there's nobody on the first baseman market, does this make the guys that aren't Vladdy level, but because it's so shallow, do they make more money?
Well, rising tide lifts all boats. Ronald Reagan taught us that. But I
great
don't,
economist.
Right.
Great.
Clearly. Down. But I don't know that at the end of the day, like, it just seems like there isn't a lot of talent at first base. When you pull up all the first basemen in the MLB,
and that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Not there. Does so then you're overpaying for it.
Does it make them more valuable? Yeah. Does it make you overpay for them?
Or does it make them just go away and it's, hey, you can find the same first baseman, or do we see them start to go younger?
Hey, I know I'm biased, but that's why Cleveland traded Josh Naylor. They were like, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the 2025 year, I don't want to pay him what he's going to cost. Might as well get something now.
The next young first baseman that could be on the come up, now granted his season isn't started very well, Tristan Casas in Boston, he's 25, but again, he's straight cheeks to start this season so far for the Red Sox.
I don't know what that means, but I understood the reference.
Not good, Bob.
That's what I figured.
Again, looking at this list, like, how old is Vinny Pasquantino? I mean, but is he of, will they get paid a little bit more? Maybe, but also I just see that as an MLB thing. Like, the way that they're throwing around money for all positions nowadays, like,
that's the last thing that I want to get into about how money is being thrown around in baseball. We talked about this a while ago. There was a guy that signed for a buku money and had a contract that we had never seen before. Baseball's a copycat league, and we expected it to be a copycat thing. And I would argue it's not. Is this the right move? Is this owner-driven? Is this player-driven? We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Coming up the second hour of the show, we will get into what we're believing on the good side and what we're believing on the bad side. Like, look, some people are bad. And how much do we believe that? And I'll throw in a little bit, when do you call it in left field for a non-left fielder, plus fair or foul, at 8:30? But I want to kind of wrap up this Vladdy Jr. kind of situation, but take it a little bit away from Vladdy Jr. and look at this aspect. Joe, we talked about this last year, in contracts and how this might reshape the league. I'm talking about Shohei. And we're talking about $800 million deal and $780, whatever the number is, deferred. Leaves you light on the books this year. You realize you're going to pay for it down the road. You're kind of doing the Trump thing, using credit to buy credit. And we saw the Dodgers do it with Roki Sasaki, Yamamoto, Blake Snell. That was the realm. And we always talk about baseball. We talked about torpedo bats last week. Baseball's a copycat league, all right? When you see something working for somebody else, that's what we do. Remember when the best hitter on your team batted third and the best home run guy batted fourth? You know, give me Ruth at three, Garrick at four. Manny Ramirez at three, Jim Thome at four. David Ortiz at three, Manny Ramirez at four. Like, that's how baseball was. Now it's like, let's put our best hitter at first in the lineup because they see the most plate appearances. We thought that this deferral thing was going to take over baseball. Guess what? Juan Soto, no deferred money. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., no deferred money. So my question is, where does this stem from? I have no research on it. I'm spitballing here. Are team accountants saying this is not a good investment for us to defer money? Or are players choosing to want their money now?
Well, I feel like if that was the case, we would see more players in L.A. doing that, but it doesn't, I don't know if the Dodgers have the secret sauce in the negotiating room where they're like, no, trust me, you're going to want this deferred. It's all good. Like, because I would think that it's like, who is it? Is it J.G. Wentworth? It's my cash and I want it now.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I feel like that is... Now, if it's guaranteed and it's deferred, it's like, well, all right, I guess you're going to just set me up for the next 30 years. And I don't have, even after I'm playing, like, I'm just going to get millions of dollars coming in every year. Like,
but we talk
that
about,
sounds pretty fine, too.
We talk about Bobby Bonilla Day every July 1. We talk about Bobby Bonilla Day. The Nationals are paying Max Scherzer until like 2035.
Well, when Bobby Bonilla Day runs out, it's going to be Chris Davis Day.
And Max Scherzer Day, honestly.
Well, again, those guys were good. The Chris Davis thing is going to be...
He won an MVP.
Chris Davis?
No, he didn't.
I was going to say, are you kidding
me? But he had 50 bombs that one year.
Yeah, before we paid.
Loaded on drugs.
No, it was just for his Adderall, okay? That was before we paid him, too.
But I'm really curious about this. Like, we saw the Shohei deal, and you're like, and everybody in baseball, Bryce Harper had some really great quotes the other day. They were playing the Dodgers, took 2 of 3. Hey, shout out, took 2 of 3. Dodgers, not invincible. And they asked Bryce Harper, how do you feel about how the Dodgers are operating in terms of deferred contracts, getting people? And Bryce Harper, I'm paraphrasing here, said, if you don't like what they're doing, then you're a loser. You have to respect organizations that go after guys. However they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And if you don't like it, then kick rocks. And I guess I'm more surprised that the biggest contracts we've seen since Shohei and Yamamoto and Roki and everything that's going on in LA of the deferrals and Blake Snell, that we thought other people were going to do this, and they're simply not.
Is it a lack of understanding, possibly? Or is it one of those other things, too, where, like, Pete Alonso, like, Juan Soto's the perfect example. He gets paid by the Mets. Uncle Stevie's got that money. Like, when you have an owner that has that money, it might be a different situation. It
but
also
do you think
might,
the Dodgers don't have that money?
I don't know that they have all of that money.
It's like, true. It's not Steve Cohen owing them.
They have a bunch of money, but do they have the amount to where they can do that? Now, they have to put a certain amount in escrow, right? Because you can't just say, hey, we'll pay you later, and then not have that money saved away. I also wonder, too, with it, and the Dodgers are just taking advantage of a rule that they're allowed to, but I wonder with certain backgrounds of players and certain agents of players. Like, we know if Scott Boras is your agent, you're going to hit the market. All of his guys hit the market because that's how you're going to get paid the
most.
Might
re-sign with your team, but he's going to hit the market.
For a guy like Shohei, he is going to make so much money in endorsements, it doesn't matter when he gets this money.
Yeah, I think I saw a headline on MLB.com that it was like, Fanatics is seeing things with Shohei Ohtani gear and uniforms that they have never seen in their existence
before. Well, and that's part of kind of what I'm asking. When Shohei did it, we know that. It's kind of like Cooper Flagg. Mm-hmm. Do you need to go to the NBA or can you stay at Duke because your outside endorsements make more money than what your salary is? I guess I thought Shohei would be the start of a new trend. And the reality is he's not. Looking at Vladdy's contract details right now, it's $35,714,286 every year till 2039. It's not escalated. There's no opt-outs. I'm sure he has a no-trade clause. That's every single year. And I think Soto's is probably the same. I can look it up right now. I guess I'm just surprised that everybody was so mad about what the Dodgers were doing that I thought they would copy it. Pay for you later.
Well, and what Bryce Harper said, like, only losers complain. Like,
he's not wrong. You know me on this show. We've been doing this show for 10 years now, and you know me on this show. I have been the most staunch Bryce Harper critic that I can think of.
Now you love Bryce Harper.
I love him to death, and he's not wrong. He's a great baseball player, and he's not wrong.
Yeah,
you don't like it? Do something about it.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, Bob Nutting over there in Pittsburgh, instead of covering up Roberto Clemente memorial signage in the stadium, how about you spend the money to pay your players and give Paul Skenes whatever he wants and get players around him? Like, There's part of me that, it's just
Joe Fisher the first in Oakland. I mean Sacramento. I mean the Athletics.
I just find it very much like, crying over spilt milk. Just you're crying foul to an issue that you definitely could fix yourself because you're a billionaire.
I think I was just surprised by it. Like Sandy Alcantara is going to be a free agent next year. He's getting dealt. Miami's going to deal him. And if he's the next Garrett Cole, who makes $34 million a year, why wouldn't you backload that contract?
Well, and it's easier said than done. Like the Dodgers are unique in the sense that, we're going to spend $1 billion to get players, but also we're going to make all of that back in merchandise sales this year.
I mean, they've already paid off Shohei.
Yeah, it's like we're fine. Not the case for some teams, but also...
Yeah, Milwaukee's not doing it. Cleveland's not doing it.
Like, you're not going to make that much money in a year, based off of tickets. But also, I feel like there are teams, and it's similar to this market with our NBA team, that are just happy to kind of be there.
Yeah, I mean...
They're just happy to have a team. They're just happy to, the owners are happy to make money off of a business to them that they see as a business. And then there are some owners and ownership groups that are like, this is sports. You play sports to win, and you want to win championships, and that's what we're going to try and do. Because also, when you put together a winning product and a team that is competing for championships, guess what? People like to watch that. They like to spend their money on that. They like to buy jerseys. They like to buy tickets. They like to buy season tickets. They like to spend a lot of money on the team and franchise and that, all of it. So if you are a mid-market, small-market team that is not willing to invest and building a winner, then you are just happy to get what you get, and that's it.
And it's not brand specific either. The Chicago Cubs, one of the biggest brands in baseball, one of the biggest brands in American sports, correct? I would bet you $500 that Kyle Tucker will not be a Cub next year.
You think they're going to cheap out, huh?
Because they won't spend it.
Cubs fans already are saying it.
They didn't spend it on Chris Bryant. They didn't spend it on Sosa. They didn't spend it on Zambrano. Any of the great Cubs of the last 20 years, they haven't spent on it.
Yeah.
So it's not even brand. I'll take FNG or FSG, Fenway Sports Group. They own the Boston Red Sox. They have a NASCAR team. And they own Liverpool, who are most likely going to win the title in the English Premier League.
I also believe they're in talks for the NBA expansion.
I also agree. I think you're right. They're looking at the Vegas team.
I believe that's right.
There are three players on Liverpool that are the cornerstones of that team. One is the best player in the world. The other is the best defender in the world. And the other is a hot shot that Real Madrid want. They are worried about not being able to spend the money to have them. Meanwhile, they will spend $400 million on Rafi Devers, but they won't do it over there. So it's like brands aren't big enough to some people. They just won't spend that money.
I was curious about this, and I just looked it up. They did pay one guy, the Chicago Cubs, Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah.
It kind of did, yeah. And eight years, 136.
And it bit them, and they're like, well, Alfonso Soriano wasn't a good contract, so this Kyle Tucker guy's probably not very good. And it's like, okay, cool. He'll be in right field in New York. Thanks. Appreciate that. Rest of baseball, thanks you.
Well, but that shouldn't deter a team from taking a chance on a player who is clearly good in your uniform right now. And the way that the Cubs have been playing to start this year, like,
you dealt top prospects, and Kyle Tucker is raking.
I get it, and that's where I am. Maybe it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Like, we gave Alfonso Soriano money. We didn't re-sign our own guys. Now we're in a position where we have a good team. The way that the Cubs have started the season, I don't think, and we're going to get into this the second hour, I don't think that's a fluke start for them.
I don't think so either.
I took them to win the division, it might be one of those where, that's a player that you want to pay. And wouldn't you know it, when you have a good team, pay the players that are making that happen for you and keep bringing people into the stadium. But the Cubs, also an outlier, because Wrigley Field costs $1 billion to get into.
Yep.
So people are just going to keep showing up and buying their gear because they're the Chicago Cubs.
And Joe's completely right. And that's what we call a transition in professional radio. When we come back, What are things that we believe in of teams that have started hot? Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner. 1080 The Fan.